Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Some kids have and some kids don't, and some of us are
blues and wild.
Why'd you bring that up, Tim?
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Timothy Michael McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you here on the radio program. He has become a guest that anytime I tweet out that he is coming on the show, people get excited about it because they want to hear what he has to say. Ladies and gentlemen, to talk Cardinals, Giancarlo Stanton. We welcome to the Appliance Discounter phone lines, Craig Mish. Craig, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How's everything going?
Everything is good. We're looking forward to hearing your thoughts on where things stand. Last night, you tweeted out a couple of things that I think really caught Cardinal fans and most likely Giants and Dodgers fans as well attention, and that is, A, that the Giants, in your opinion, are 40% to land Stanton, the Dodgers 35%, and the Cardinals 25%. And then B, you expect this per a source to be over in 2 to 3 days. As you wake up this morning, is that still your opinion on both of those fronts?
Yeah, I would say so. The only thing is look, I think we know at this point that, and it has been reported by everybody, that Stanton's preference is to play for Los Angeles. I feel like I say this every time I'm on with you guys, but we'll do it again. So his preference is to play for Los Angeles. So he's trying, in my opinion, to exhaust every option possible to get to play there. But there is going to come a point, and it is going to come soon, that a decision is going to have to be made. Is LA in or is LA out? And at that point, once we know that, I think this is going to happen very quickly. And I do think that this is going to happen in the next, as I said, 2 to 3 days. I mean, certainly it is possible that I'll be wrong and it goes another day or two. But the indications that I was told is that, and some of this is opinion and some of this is fact, is that baseball really prefers this thing to be done. Like they do, they want their hot stove. The winter meetings are next week and everything is just kind of on pause. JD Martinez is a free agent who'll be coveted by a lot of teams. Mike Moustakas is a free agent. None of these guys are going to sign until this Stanton sweepstakes is over. So I think this is going to happen pretty quickly, and from what I'm told, it will. So we'll just have to stand by and wait.
Craig, first, congratulations on being at the front of this story. I think you've gotten a lot of followers here in St. Louis because of your reporting. I saw that you tweeted out the percentages, and you had San Francisco, then the Dodgers. Are you aware that the Dodgers are doing anything to prove that they are interested or could make something happen in regard to Stanton?
No, at this point I am not. But I still, from every single person that I talk to, they all say the same thing, is that that's where he wants to be. So you have to give them every opportunity to be in that mix and in that picture in terms of percentage. So if they were out, I think the Cardinals' chances would increase significantly. But as long as they are still in the mix, we know for sure he prefers L.A. over St. Louis. Let's not make any bones about that. And we're under the assumption that he would rather be in San Francisco than St. Louis as well. So assuming that is correct, then there's a percentage added to San Francisco also. And then we'll get into St. Louis's offer, I'm sure, in a minute. But until L.A. is out, I got to keep them in the mix. It will be very, very complicated from what I hear if L.A. decides to jump into the mix here and get very serious about it. Because, as you know, they are over the tax. Their payroll would be the highest in the history of baseball if they took on Stanton, which means that some pieces on L.A. are going to have to go. Where will they go? Will they go to Miami? Will Miami take those pieces, send them somewhere else? I don't know the answer to that.
Well, we know, I mean, if you follow the Cardinals farm system, they have more prospects to offer. I think you reported that the Cardinals their offer includes paying more of Stanton's salary. The tax ramifications in Missouri are certainly less obtrusive than being on the West Coast. So there are a lot of things that bode well for the Cardinals, correct?
Yes, and again, as I've mentioned before, that the Marlins and the Cardinals share the same facility in Jupiter, which I'm about an hour away from. I've spent a decade covering both those teams in the same facility. Not as much this past year because of the new facility in West Palm Beach with the Astros and the Nationals. So I spent a lot of time there as well. So I'm very familiar with everything that goes on with the Cardinals. And to me, what an indication on the Cardinals' end that not only do they arguably have the best player in this deal between San Francisco and St. Louis and Sandy Alcantara, which I think he is the best player in this deal, and they're willing to offer more money. Now, why did they do that? I am sure that in their heart of hearts, they thought to themselves, hey, look, and this is opinion, hey, look, we need to put the sweetest offer in here for us to even have a chance. I cannot really fathom anything except for giving the Cardinals a lot of credit for trying here. They've gone very far down the road here, without a doubt.
Craig Mish, our guest on the Appliance Discounter phone lines, Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you on the radio program. Craig, last week, and I realize things changed. This isn't a gotcha thing, but I'm curious what has changed. When you were on with us, you said you were under the impression that the Giants were willing to pick up all of Stanton's remaining salary on that contract. And then over the last 48 hours, you have tweeted that the Cardinals are willing to actually pick up more money than the Giants. And if the Giants were willing to pick up everything, I don't know how the Cardinals could pick up more. So what has taken place there?
Yeah, I mean, it's just simply me being off on the number. I mean, that's it. I'm very, you know, transparent with information and saying when I'm right and when I'm wrong.
God bless you, sir.
But again, you know, John Morosi was the one who reported this. So let's look at Stanton's contract at what's remaining. The Giants were willing to pick up $250 million of the contract. I mean, that is like, it's not the whole thing, that's true, but it's pretty darn close, mm-hmm. 75% or 80%. And I don't know the percentage that the Cardinals were willing to give more than the Dodgers, but if you consider the California state tax versus the Missouri state tax and the fact that the Cardinals were willing to give a dollar more, it makes the money that St. Louis offered, I don't think, completely insignificant. And so that's just kind of the update. Things change, as you said, Tim, like from day to day, you know, getting information, getting things right, getting things wrong, being close on some, close on others. It requires so much work with this in the last week. You have no idea. And so I'm just constantly, you know, trying to adapt and change. But at the same time, you know, take people, if I can, especially on social media, behind the curtain a little bit, because I think this is probably new for a lot of people to see how things develop.
Mm-hmm. You said that all of baseball, once it's wrapped up and the teams want to get this wrapped up, maybe by this week, why would Stanton himself be under any obligation to make a decision right now?
No, he's not. But look, sometimes they're going to come from internal pressure, external pressure. And I think in this case, the Dodgers are going to have to make a statement in the next couple of days as to whether or not they're in it. Sure, Stanton could take this to the end. But again, from what I'm hearing, there are some pressures to get the deal done. I don't think there's any doubt that the Giants and the Cardinals also want some answers, too. Like, no one can proceed with their offseason. Well, I take it back. Maybe, you know, a couple of teams in baseball can. Maybe the Marlins can proceed without knowing what Stanton's going to do in terms of the rest of their players. But there are so many teams out there, maybe half the league, that are waiting for this to find out. And in my opinion, and again, maybe it will be proven wrong, I don't see the winter meetings being absorbed by just this Stanton talk, because make no mistake about it, if he does not, for some reason, pick one of these teams by then, I mean, we could be sitting there in Orlando waiting, doing nothing.
Yeah, like, but that's not his problem. If I'm Stanton, I just sit around and tell the Dodgers do it, whether it's this week or next month or a year from now, if that's really where he wants to go.
He could do that. He could do that, but I'm told that it won't happen like that. Okay. Yeah, look, there's a very strong possibility that he ends up with the Dodgers, just as I've been discussing. The ball is completely in his court. I have to go based on the information that I was given. And so that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be forced into going into St. Louis. No, I don't think that that's the case. He's going to make his own decision. But based on the information that I've been given, that this is going to come to a head in the next few days.
Craig, you made reference to the probabilities. You tweeted out with the 40% to the Giants, 35% to the Dodgers, and 25% to the Cardinals. Does that mean that him returning to the Marlins, in your opinion, when you're allocating these percentages, is zero?
Yes. Yes, I've said that on several shows. It's a 0% for me.
No, that's the one, because if you're Stanton and this is a long term contract and you want to play where you want to play, and the Dodgers are having trouble getting their offer together short term, what would prevent you from just saying that, even with the threat of playing with a team of also Rans, you have a great place to live, you're making a lot of money, but long term you want to play in L.A. What would prevent Stanton from saying, you know what, we're going to wait for the Dodgers to get it together, and if that means taking a run at this next year, let's do that?
The Marlins will not have Stanton's payroll on their team this year. They can't have it. They can't afford it. They can say that they can move other players and make it work. They can't. His contract is just – it's not too much in the grand scheme, I think, of baseball. It is too much for the Marlins. He will not be back on the Marlins, period.
I saw a report about a week and a half ago regarding Derek Jeter and his partners seeking additional partners for a capital infusion. What is the health of the franchise financially?
You know, it's really hard to say at this point. In terms of the finances, it looks like they had to, I would say, pair together a bunch of different investors to make the entire deal work. At this point, him having, I think he had a breakfast or something like that, that was for either, you know, large season ticket holders or investors also. I think the Marlins will be fine. Whether or not Jeter gets other investors, I don't think it's completely relevant to what they do on the field. The perception here in South Florida is obviously not good because they're moving their main star. But I think that once they're able to pare down this payroll, move Stanton, potentially move D. Gordon, potentially move Marcell Ozuna, and then they have a few contracts on board that I think that they're going to attempt to move, maybe in a package with Ozuna or maybe with somebody else, I think they'll be okay at that point. The reported number for their payroll in terms of the finances had been $90 million. I had heard it would be a little less than that, and then I heard it would go back to $90 million. So you're looking at a halfway decent number to run the team, but inevitably the Marlins are going to have to take their lumps in the next few years in order to be competitive.
If the Cardinals do miss out on Stanton, do you have any knowledge as to a possible plan B involving the Marlins with Ozuna or Yelich? Do you have any knowledge on that?
I was told that either Ozuna or Yelich was likely to be moved, and I really wasn't given an indication as to either one. It would seem to me that the pairing of either of those players to the Cardinals or another team is going to require St. Louis or another team to take on one of the contracts that they have. If I had to guess, and again, this is under assumption, not fact, they have Martin Prado, who's going to make $18 million next year. They have Brad Ziegler and Junichi Tozawa, who are either closers or middle relievers, who are probably, in terms of baseball, maybe more higher paid than some others, and they would like. They'd like to move those players as well. And I think that's kind of the direction that the Marlins will go after that point. They'll also, I think, move D. Gordon. I'm fairly certain of that.
You said the Cardinal offer for Stanton would include Alcantara, probably. You have any other idea how many other players and who those might be that would be in a Cardinal package?
No, I don't. I'm sorry. But Alcantara was in the deal.
And we asked you when you were on with us last week regarding Reyes, and that's the one that Cardinal fans certainly don't want to see the organization part with. And you said at that time that Reyes's name had not been one you had heard. Has anything changed regarding Reyes in this deal?
A few days ago, a source had mentioned to me that his name was mentioned in some way. I do not believe he is in the deal. It could very well be exchanging names back and forth, how these things progress. But to my knowledge, Alex Reyes is not in this trade offer.
Hey, Craig, when you put the percentages out there, and again, I realize it's arbitrary, and you're just trying to give the public an idea of where this thing stands, with the Giants leading the Dodgers at 35% and then the Cardinals at 25%. And you were ahead of this story. You were on it back in July. Just to try and give the St. Louis audience an idea of the reasoning for the perception, or perhaps the actual reality, that Giancarlo Stanton does not want to play for the St. Louis Cardinals. What is at the root of it? Is it simply the geography? Does he not like the city? What is at the root of it?
You know, it's a great question, and I've heard so many different things along the lines from July to now. The first report I had is that he didn't want to live in the Midwest, and now I'm not even completely sure of that. And again, I don't think that he doesn't look. First of all, let's say this. Here's my opinion. If Giancarlo Stanton did not have a no trade clause, he'd be playing for the Cardinals. That's my opinion. They would trade him to St. Louis. I believe St. Louis will put the best deal together for him, and the Marlins would prefer to trade him there. But it is a matter of, there are 30 teams in baseball. Stanton has a no-trade clause, and where do the Cardinals stand in the pecking order in terms of playing as compared to other teams? I'm going to guess here and speculate. I don't know this to be fact, but if the opportunity arose and Stanton had to choose between the Cardinals and Tampa Bay Rays, he would choose the Cardinals. So there are definitely teams that fall below St. Louis in terms of his preference. It's just that he has all the power here in this situation, so he is going to have a list of places that he would go. The Cardinals are probably not on that list, and so he would have to be convinced to go. Do the Cardinals fall in his top five teams as to where he wants to go? The answer to that is no. But do they fall in the top 10? They certainly could.
So you mentioned the geography. Is that essentially it? I mean, that he just does not want to live in the Midwest. Like, if the Cubs would call, he wouldn't be interested in the Cubs. I'm not saying the Cubs are calling, but just, you know, Chicago's a different Midwestern city than St. Louis, whereas St. Louis and Cincinnati and Kansas City, you know, you could lump them in together.
Yeah, it's a hard question for me to answer because I've changed my opinion on that, and I don't know that it's necessarily geography anymore. It's just a matter of where specifically he wants to play. You mentioned the Cubs. Like, I mean, would he accept a trade there? I'm not 100% sure that he wouldn't, but I just know that, unfortunately, Cardinals, you know, they're not at the top of his list. Look, I don't know why. I don't know the answer to that. Being around the team in the spring all the time, I mean, you can obviously tell this is one of the best organizations, if not the best in all of baseball. He would be smart to go there and become an icon, which so many players have gone there before. And he has an opt-out that he could choose in 3 years if he wanted to, or even work it out with the Cardinals to say, hey, move it up. Move my opt-out up for 2 years. And they would never do it for one, but let's say two. I'm sure St. Louis would take their chance on that. But the teams involved, as luck would have it, L.A., he prefers them. San Francisco, it's been reported that he prefers them, and we'll just have to see if it does come down to that.
You mentioned Alcantara possibly being involved in the deal, and who knows what names are really on the table. Do you have a sense for if it's Alcantara and a couple of guys on their major league roster, or are there more prospects involved? Do you have any idea of how big the deal is and how many names it might involve in terms of the Cardinals?
The only name that I heard was Alcantara, and I was told that potentially his name was the best. So my guess is if that is the case, then we're looking at minor league players that maybe aren't as big league ready, but I'm speculating that these are guesses. So no factual evidence there.
How's the fan base down there in South Florida taking this, that the Marlins are eagerly trying to ship away the best player in the league?
Yeah, it's the same as it's kind of always been. It's a very apathetic baseball town. The discussion in Miami Sports Radio today will be consumed with the Hurricanes losing Saturday night to Clemson and being out of the playoffs, and the Dolphins yesterday beating the Denver Broncos, and the Heat playing the Warriors yesterday. And if there's any time, maybe they'll mention Stanton. You know, it's one of those things where the fan base has been burned several times, and so it's hard for them to see the big picture. And I've maintained that this is the right move for the Marlins. It's not the right move for every team, but it's the right move for them. They need to have a fresh look at how things work. The franchise, unfortunately, financially was left in a very tough situation based on the previous ownership, and they do need to go the route of the Cubs and go the route of the Astros and the Phillies. They need to take this down and try in 2 or 3 years to be competitive. In my mind, they're not, no matter what the Marlins do, they're not a better team than the Washington Nationals in the National League East this year. But who knows if Bryce Harper leaves, and who knows where the Braves will be at in a couple of years. But this is not the year for the Marlins to do it. They recognize that, but the fan base, it's very hard to convince them anything except for a fire sale. They love to call everything a fire sale, and that's kind of where we're at.
In terms of the Cardinal fan base, you know about it because you've been at spring training for a long time, but this might be your first taste of an engaged fan base working you on social media. What's that been like for you dealing with Cardinal fans?
Yeah, I've had a couple of stories. When Alcantara was called up, I broke that story. When Reyes had Tommy John surgery, and that was announced, I broke that story. So I've had some engagement in the past, but you're right. This has been, and those were negative stories, or one was negative and one was positive stories, by the way. But it's really amazing to see the passion of the Cardinals in full force on Twitter. There's no doubt. And the support that everyone has given me without me, I'm not playing any favorites here. I'm just calling the game how it is at this point and giving my opinion. and they were very supportive of just knowing and wanting the information. And I got to tell you, on the Giants side, it's been the same thing. You know, Giants Nation is also very interested in seeing what's going to happen. But a lot of people have said they just keep refreshing and keep refreshing their browser just to see if there's any updates. And that just tells you right there the passion for it. But I have no doubt that I know it's been a tough year or two with the Cardinals, no doubt about it. Everyone wants to see them back in the postseason. And I do think they'll get there. Even if they do not land Stanton, they will make a major move. Everyone knows they need offense. They're going to get it. This team always does a very good job. It's just about for the Cardinals, I think, making the right decisions if Stanton doesn't end up signing with them or getting traded to the Marlins. They really have to, instead of swing and miss, they have to hit a home run with whatever they choose to do this offseason.
Craig Mish, SiriusXM, and a regular here on the program. He has certainly been ahead of everybody on this Stanton story over the last 5 months, and we appreciate him taking time out once again to join us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Craig, thank you so much for the time.
Okay, guys. Thanks again.
See you, Craig.
All right, thank you,
Craig Mish with us here on the latest. Gentlemen, your thoughts. Thoughts of the listeners, 855-282-8255.
Well, he clearly said Cardinal fans are the best fans in baseball. I think I heard
sounded
it that
like
way.
That.
I think I heard
yep.
it that way. I it's interesting to hear him kind of lay out the whole thing with how the Dodgers are positioned in this, but it was striking to me that he said 0% that Stanton is playing for the Marlins. That, to me, that's what because I assume that was always a possibility based on the fact that Stanton is holding the gun in this thing.
Right. He's got all the leverage. I just don't understand why or how he could be backed into a situation where they're going to say, well, you have to decide right now. You have to decide in the next 2 or 3 days. If I'm him, I'd say, the hell with that. I'll decide when I'm ready to decide. I'll decide when a deal is right to go where I want to go. And if I have to play another year in Miami, then that's what it's going to be. Or if the Dodgers aren't ready in early December to make this deal, oh, well, I'm not going then.
But he said 0%. So that's my main takeaway. I was surprised.
I was surprised by that, too. I was surprised by that, too. I thought when I included the Marlins in there, we had a couple calls, including the great Big Al, who was ready to go hot take. You're welcome to call in if you would like a reaction to Craig Mish, 855-282-8255, 855-282-8255. But I would have thought that there'd be like 10%. For him going back to the Marlins. He says 0.
Yeah. 0% is not a very big number. There's not many things in the world that have a 0% chance of happening.
Well, we have 0 listeners, but we're still award winning.
Right.
Well, we got 1 because someone just called in. So there's a listener.
Put them right on the air, see, please. We have a call.
Oh, and then he hung up. So maybe we are at 0.
Doug, 5 months in St. Louis, half on the road. Spring training doesn't change. Why wouldn't he want to save a ton in taxes? Jeff in Wentzville.
Well, he'd save a ton in taxes being right where he is right now, where they have no state income tax in Florida. You want to save? I saw the difference in playing in Florida and California would be like $20 million over the life of his contract.
But here's the thing, and I read this a couple of places, and it dawned on me before I even read it, but because he holds all the cards, and let's say he does work out something for San Francisco or perhaps Los Angeles, he can say, hey, can we restructure this deal where the JHE representatives go in there and move some money around to give him a bit of a tax shelter to relieve some of that tax burden? That can be done, too.
I don't know. How would you do that?
There are ways of getting it done.
Make the contract, not to eliminate. Go a 30-year
however,
contract instead
I mean,
of
there
a 10-year.
There are people experts in doing that to reduce tax burden, and I'm sure that if a team wanted him that badly and they said, can we restructure it, same money, but just dole it out differently to save me some, you know, paying extra $27 million in taxes, that could be done.
I don't know.
To a certain extent.
Doug, what are the chances the Marlins just flat wave him to dump the salary? Thanks to St. Peter's Lemming. Anybody want to handle that?
I guess they're going to probably want something for the National League's MVP, although it's a pretty poorly run operation, so maybe not. Maybe you just sit and wait.
But they're not going to give up a commodity for nothing, okay, Doug?
Oh, Doug? Really, Jim?
Doug?
Okay, thanks.
Let's see. We got a caller. Give me a seat. That's Big Al.
Oh, hello, Al. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, we're here. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Hey, Cap, quit yelling at me, Doug. Have you started taking baby aspirin yet, Doug?
No, I have not.
Well, you better start.
Well, I have my heart.
Hey, Cap, next time you're down there, can you ask Mo a question from me?
Sure. I'm going to see him. I'll see him at the winter meeting. So that's the next time.
Why didn't we take him when they offered him for free? Why do we got to trade Alcantara? Why didn't we do that in the middle of the year when we needed a bat? Now we wait till the end of the year. It's like having a clearance sale, and then when stuff gets marked back up, we all move in. Oh, yeah, I want to pay full price. In fact, I want to give a little more. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Calm down,
guy.
Here's
what I'm to tell you. From Band Network, Big Al Network, he's not coming. It's in the bag, the Big Al guarantee. He's not coming. Let's just stop this stuff. All right, look at our playoff chart. Yeah. Again, let's redo this one. Let's workshop this one. Matheny's taking it at the top, and we're straight down to the bottom. Why would he want to come here? He doesn't probably like church much because he's in Miami. So
now,
he's
hold
not
on a second.
To the church
what
lady.
Does that mean? I don't like church much,
he's
and
not
I'm here.
Going to come to the church lady with Matheny over there holding Bible study. Nothing wrong with it. I'm a good-loving Christian, too, but it's just not his style, man. He's not coming here. So let's move on. Let's get someone else, Mo. But, yo, by the way, Mo, he was offered for free. And now we're going to give up assets.
How do you know that?
And we
know
needed
that?
Him last year.
How do you know he was offered for free?
where are you
they
basing
put him on
it?
Waivers, Doug.
Yeah, but that's so they clears waivers and then you negotiate a deal.
We negotiate a deal and say, hey, we're paying all that salary. Okay, because evidently we're paying most of it now. I guarantee you that had taken it. But no,
they put them on waivers. But then
a bunch of players are put on waivers.
Yeah, then they would pull them off if someone were to claim
them. To get a deal that might be exactly what they're talking about now, which is probably the more likely scenario.
Okay, then let's workshop that real quick, all right? Let's say that they do that then. Then we give them the assets that we're giving them now. We got a bat, and maybe, just maybe, even though we got in-app management, we made the playoffs somehow. But no, it ain't happening.
So that no trade would not be in play last year. Is that what you're telling me?
When they put him on, wait a minute, you got to back up on that. Wait a minute here. What's you can up? Put a little JG on him and slip him some cash to get down here. I mean, you just said we could rework it. So
I'm just telling here in the background.
We were offered for
free.
A
flute.
We're ready to make a deal now. Damn when fear. The price went all the way back up. And here we sit. So, St. Louis, calm down. We're not getting them. And this is the last day to golf for a while. So, everybody head out to Normandy. And by the way, Ryan Dan gave me a great cover for my golf cart. I got a brand new cover, a winter cover for it. It goes right over it with a heater. So, I'm going to be playing golf a lot more than I thought. Woo!
Well, that's good to know. All right.
All right,
Al. Al's going to be playing a lot more.
I'm tired after some of those calls.
Doug, he probably doesn't like church much.
You said that with a straight face.
Because he's in Miami.
And I don't know the rules, too. So if the Marlins put him on waivers and there's a claim.
Then he's free.
Then his no trade, he can't even weigh in on that thing.
No, you just get him for nothing. Boy, they did miss an opportunity there.
I believe in keeping the content fresh, recharging my batteries, and leaving the audience wanting more.
Doug, during that phone call, I heard whistles. Thank you. It's from Uncle Leonard's love child.
That's Emerald.
Yeah, there was. I swear there was like out of nowhere, like a flute.
I
in the
heard
background.
Whistle. Was that Sam Fear, Paul?
It could have been, wasn't it?
Was he playing the pan flute?
And Big Al said he's a good church going guy. What's his problem with Matheny? I don't get that.
He thought Stanton is not religious because he lives in Miami, and he would not want to come here and play for a religious.
There's no one religious in Miami.
I saw churches down there.
The nation all day.
Who is that?
I got Adrian Chambers.
Huh. You know, I was talking to fam the other day, and this is funny to me. So he's working out with Chambers at this high-tech whatever.
Adrian Chambers?
Yeah, is working with fam because I guess Chambers is a Las Vegas guy too, I guess. So anyway, so if anyone saw fam on this treadmill, it's like a high-tech treadmill. It looks like, honestly, like a science experiment. It builds speed. You always heard you can't get faster. That's either you're fast or not. This thing apparently can build speed. Mm-hmm. And you watch fam on it and you're like, how does a human stay on that thing? He said Chambers got on it and got thrown 10 feet back.
Really?
First time Chambers was on it, he got thrown 10 feet back.
Calling the nation all day.
All day. Chambers, you my boy.
Well, maybe we should get one of those treadmills for here. I mean, we could all use better foot speed.
Is that important for three hosts that are getting older by the day?
Sure, if someone chases us.
Chasey Lane.
I'm a submissive bottom.
Okay, Hoffman, you don't have to tell us that every day.
Doug, Elysium Restoration is the company that did our basement, and I would like them to do your basement.
Yeah, I would too, very much so.
My God, you wouldn't believe the quality of work they do, but I think a lot of people just assume it's only basements because it's all I ever talk about, but it's not. It's kitchens, bathrooms, home additions, they do it all. Elysium does quality work and has a track record of completing jobs on time and on budget. They work effectively with any budget, from basic remodels to your dream project. Plus, they do all this while podcasting like the Dickens. They are loyal listeners. Jason and Ryan take care of their customers by being personally involved in all of Elysium's projects. And you can call them anytime, and you will be thrilled with the results. Let them come out and give you a bid. It will be worth it. Maybe you ought to just come by and see my basement. That'd be fun. Just do like an open house for the listeners. Would that be fun?
Yeah, just let them stream through and take a few things. Maybe spill their drinks. Smoke a little bit. I think that would be an interesting party.
ERDSTL.com. ERDSTL.com. Elysium Restoration Trust is one of the things they build well. Send your emails in for the Hot Shots email of the day. Tunnels 12,000 shipped the first December email of the day. And so he has the lead for December. The morning after at InsideSTL.com. The morning after at InsideSTL.com. Cam, Doug, could you tell the audience about our title sponsor, Ryan Kelly? He's online at thehomeloanexpert.com, Jack E. Papers.
Right. Well, this is a place where you go if you've got a mortgage and you've got a high rate on it. You're saying, boy, I sure would like to save some money. Don't know what I should do. Do I start all over? Yes, you start all over with a refinance from Ryan Kelly. He's got the people there. They're waiting for you right now to give him a call and they can get you started. It's not like the process takes a long time. It doesn't. It's not like it's a big hassle. It isn't. I've done it twice through Ryan Kelly, and I'll tell you what, I couldn't be happier. You'd think everyone would have refinanced by now, but they really haven't. Ryan says a lot of the people that he talks to thinks one of the reasons is that they believe their house won't appraise high enough. Home values are skyrocketing, though. So maybe if you've tried in the past and your house didn't appraise highly enough, it will now. Plus, Ryan Kelly and close loans all the time without even needing an appraisal. So give them a jingle. Ryan Kelly and the Home Loan Expert team work hard so you don't have to. If you're looking to refinance or purchase a home, why would you go anywhere else? Call Ryan at 314-781-Call Ryan. I'll give the number now. 314-781-9700 or visit thehomeloanexpert.com.
Ryan Kelly, title sponsor. Your thoughts are welcome. 855-282-8255. 855-282-8255. Doug, did you watch any of the Eldrick this weekend?
I did.
Kind of fell apart on Saturday's been. Ricky Fowler shipped it, nearly shot in 50s. Like birdie the first four or five holes.
Yeah, it's seven in a row there.
Okay, now Ricky.
Okay, don't do that.
Is that the year of the Ricky?
Oh, nice. Keisha's still upset about that.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
So did old Charlie Hoffman wind up winning that?
Ricky Fowler.
Oh, did he? Hoffman was ahead like the first three rounds. I didn't see the final round yesterday's bin.
Mike Francesa compared his injury to...
what?
Tiger Woods.
Oh, Francesa has an injury?
Oh, now, that's had a change of swing and open up a little bit. That could be also that chronic left leg where you have to open up your left knee because you can't just come in and spin off that left knee. You know this. I have a left knee replacement. I can't, you know, put a lot of pressure on my left knee when I go to swing the club. So I have to open up and just kind of hit the ball a little flat-footed because I can't shift all my weight to my front leg because my front leg isn't strong enough to handle it. So because it's a knee replacement, so, you know, you lose distance there and you got to open up and hit the ball a little left to right, which is what I do off the tee. And I don't hit the ball far off the tee because of that. So, I mean, that's the weakest part of my game. Because of the knee replacement. So, I mean, I've adjusted to not being able to hit it far off the tee and just play from there. But Tiger, obviously, has had two or three surgeries to that left knee.
Well, all right, similar type of athletes, I guess. I don't know. I haven't seen Francesa play.
And trust me.
I think he's a plus four.
See,
he'd be a big hitter if he had the ability to put the weight on the left knee.
I think he's just trying to empathize it. You know, he knows what it's like to not.
What do you think the best part of Francesa's game is, though? Let's not analyze Tiger.
Probably short game.
Yeah,
he's very effective
around the green within maybe 25 yards of the pin. You won't find many sports talk radio hosts better.
I heard he's great with a sand wedge.
56?
Is that such a thing? Is there a sand wedge?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great with
You don't play the game much, do you?
No. Sorry.
There's a pitching wedge as well. What do you prefer, pitching or sand? Mm. You can use them interchangeably.
Can you really?
Well, yeah, some people do.
What's the difference? Then why have a sand wedge if it's the same thing as a pitching wedge?
Different loft.
Doug, Tiger is back, baby, and I can't wait for him and Tim to walk down 18 at Bellevue Sunday in August. Thanks. That's from DJ's Range Mat. Mm.
If that happened, Tim, do you think you guys would hold hands? You know, just to show unity.
I mean, he wears the Sunday red. I mean, what should I? I guess I should start laying out my outfits.
Yeah.
Don't say outfits.
Can you imagine?
Don't lay them out. Men don't lay out their outfits. Here's what I'll wear on Monday. Here's what I'll wear.
Well, Ricky
on
wore orange yesterday.
Okay. He didn't have to lay it out, though. I'm sure it just hung there in the closet.
So, would you think that they would hold hands? Like, because it'd be redemption for Tiger, and for Tim, it'd be finally getting the recognition that he's been
that
doing all
these
years. Yeah,
that my golf game deserves.
I would think, I would hope that Tim would be in front, you know, as the leader.
Right.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano.
As the, you know, St. Louis's favorite son, I would hope that Tiger would take a step back and allow Tim to enjoy the spotlight he so richly deserves.
Who would be getting more autograph requests during this day of golf?
I won't sign. There's so much going on mentally with the game that he won't have time to acknowledge anyone else is there.
Guys, only Francesa can overanalyze a simple everyday knee surgery for a professional athlete. Wow, can he wear a simple observation?
Because he got the call wrong. I said it before and then I changed my mind. I should get half credit. You shouldn't be there.
I was watching yesterday Dean Blandino on an incomplete pass. On a complete pass, it was challenged. He got it right. Dean Blandino got it right.
Stop trying to find another guy.
Uh-oh.
One guy who can do
I was
it
thinking of Francesa. Here's how he gets out of it now.
Blandino. He said it's going to be overruled, and it was.
But he said, and if they don't overrule it, I could see that too. So he covered himself.
See, I didn't notice that.
Yeah. That's what he does now, because he's wrong so often. I'll agree with Francesa there. I don't agree with your Tiger Woods assessment. But I'll agree with him there. Now he just hedges. Yeah, I think they'll overrule it, but if they don't, I won't be surprised either.
That is a hedge, by definition. Yeah.
I did not notice that.
Covers all your bases. Doug, how'd you do on DraftKings yesterday?
I didn't play DraftKings yesterday, Ben. I just don't really have the interest in the NFL to do that this year.
Man, I spent so much time putting my spreadsheet together.
Did you?
Let me see what the number one team had yesterday. I would imagine Josh McCown. Oh, Alex Smith.
He had a good day.
And only 1.7% of the field owned Alex Smith. I would imagine way more had Josh McCown. He was only 5,500 on your 50,000 budget. Kenyon Drake. He looked good, too. 11.6% of the field. This gentleman won $1 million. He had Alex Smith, Kenyon Drake, Todd Gurley. Gurley didn't have a huge day.
He's getting a lot of touchdowns, isn't he? Doesn't he lead the NFL in touchdowns?
I don't think he's had one. I know he didn't have one yesterday. I don't think he had one the previous week against the Saints.
Tyreek Hill had a big day.
Yes, and he did have
46 points against me.
Robbie Anderson, Tyreek Hill, and Jermaine Kearse. He had all three of those for wide receivers. It was a well played. I'm disappointed in myself for all of my. I mean, Doug, take a look at this
spreadsheet and all this stuff, and then
Wow. I'll bet your spreadsheet doesn't look like that.
You know what? I don't have a spreadsheet.
Travis Kelce, a huge day also. And then Seth Roberts, a nice value play as the Raiders had both Crabtree and Cooper out. And Roberts was considered to be the number one at that point for Darnell Carr. And he had an average day, 5 catches, 46 yards, but still he didn't cost much. And then the Dolphins defense. Two safeties. How often do you have a team with two safeties?
Not very often, Tim.
And one defensive touchdown, so that got him 28 points. 241.14 ships $1 million. Chess is okay is your winner. Chess is okay.
That Dolphin defense with those killer bees.
I think it's the same group. I think Doug Betters had at least one of those safeties.
Kim Bocamper.
Bob Baumauer.
Well, there are only two safeties.
Bob Brodzinski. The safeties were the Blackwoods.
Lyle.
Not Kyle and Lyle. Lyle Blackwood was one. And the other Blackwood, I forget what his name was.
Nick.
It wasn't Nick. Lyle Blackwood.
Should have been.
Ricky Fowler hung his outfits in the closet while Doug is also hung and in the closet. Thanks. That's from Jamon Moore's hands.
Okay, Jamon. Where's the suspension module? Well, here it is right now.
Tournament.
Jamon Moore's hands, you have been suspended. You have been Plowsy's suspended back. A period of 2 days' time. I'm writing it down in the Hot Shots leather-bound suspension log. You, I'm writing it with a pen. Boy, I'm about out of pens. What would you say the name was? Jamon
Moore's hands.
Moore's hands. Okay. First time I believe he's been in the suspension log. You brought to you by the fine people at Hot Shots. 11 locations. There's got to be one near you. If there isn't, move.
Doug, Missouri is going to the Texas Bowl to take on Texas in a tournament game.
I like that because apparently Texas didn't want it to happen. Therefore, I like it. I was hoping they would go somewhere closer, maybe Memphis or Nashville, and we could drive there and maybe go see
No it. SEC team in the Liberty Bowl, Jack.
Yeah. Well, I wish there
was. Didn't have
enough
bowl-eligible teams.
Yeah. Would have been a much better place for the fan base.
I would have liked that a little bit more as well.
I think thousands would have made that drive. And
I mean, this is one
Houston,
of those. When you're trying to, betting on bowl games is so tough. And when you're sitting around, a lot of people are off the last week or two of the year. And so guys will sit there and go, well, I guess I'll take the over. And a lot of times you'll see the over hit in the first half because, you know, some of the teams just don't give a damn and they'll just throw the ball over the place and see what happens. Whereas for other programs, the game is huge. And I would say from a motivation standpoint, Missouri, it will be big time motivated for this game. And I don't think Texas will be. And so I would anticipate Missouri winning this thing. Have you seen anybody seen a number on that? I know they put the spreads out for the college football playoff semifinals.
I have not.
I would imagine Missouri's favored. Let me see.
I didn't see any lines out for any other bowls.
Outside of the college football playoff bowls, yeah. Alabama's favored over Clemson, I think. Either way, both games were like 1 point, so it's neither here nor there.
I talked to a guy
but
yesterday.
But like I said, spreads are not necessarily based on laying out the actual offense, defense, special teams. Don't forget about the special teams.
I was just curious, and I can't give the guy's name because he said don't use our book, our sports book. But I was just curious, before they made the announcement, what the spread would be Clemson versus Ohio State versus Clemson versus Alabama. And he said, if I was making a spread now with those two teams, I would have Clemson a 3-point favorite over Ohio State and Clemson a 4-point favorite over Alabama.
Yeah.
Now I see Alabama as a 1-point favorite over Clemson.
Yeah. I would think Clemson would be 4.5 over Ohio State. But again, so much of it is a perception-based play. And so Alabama's going to be favored over anybody. Or right there, even with the number one team.
Just because they're Alabama. I think Clemson will beat them.
Well, if you based on what's taken place this year, I would agree with that. And the way they're trending. But is Nick Saban, who out of nowhere, I was watching Scott Van Pelt Sports Center on Saturday night after the Ohio State-Wisconsin game, and out of nowhere they go, what? Nick Saban's on the phone? So Nick Saban called into Sports Center, and I don't think he does that often.
Oh, I would think that he'd do it a couple times a day.
Like when Melrose does the hockey highlights?
He loves the media. Loves them.
And he was in campaign mode.
If he can use the media, he loves them. If not, they're all stupid idiots. And he's the only one who knows anything about football, and how dare you ask me a question.
Unless, see y'all later.
Yeah, unless he needs the media, and then he will call them directly.
What did he say? If we didn't belong in, you wouldn't be talking to me right now, or something like that.
He said, you know, if we would have lost by 31 points to an SEC there team, we wouldn't even be in the conversation. And he said they'll be healthy when the time comes for that game. I don't know, man. Am I wrong? Have they lost in the round of four, the semifinals? Did they lose to Ohio State in the round of four, and then Ohio State beat Oregon in the first one? Nurse, was there one person who can look that up out of the three producers?
I don't know.
But either way, I don't know where I would go on that one. I think Georgia's a tough matchup for Oklahoma.
I don't think they've been in the finals three straight years.
Right. Because I think it was Ohio State and Oregon. Doug, is this Saban a little Bantam rooster? Thanks. Mitch Yerva comes to you.
No. You know, Earl Weaver was a little Bantam rooster.
Oregon, Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, Clemson, Alabama, Clemson, Alabama. Is what it...
What was it again, Plowhawk?
You said Oregon's, Oregon played Ohio State 2014-2015 championship. Is that what you were looking for? Who were the first one? The first matchup? Yeah.
Oregon, Ohio State. So I think Ohio State therefore beat them in the 2015.
Yes.
There it is, Doug, which was stunning.
42-20 was the final score.
And then the last 2 years, it's been Clemson against Roll Tide. They lost to Oklahoma, Tim. That's when the Jeff Cole jewel juggler.
Also, the River to Pair Yacht captain says, hey, Doug, my roommate's name is Lyle. Just saying.
Lyle Blackwood?
Just wanted you to know that.
What was the other Blackwood brother's name? I forget his first name.
Nina.
It wasn't Nina.
I think it was Nick.
It's driving me crazy now. Blackwood Safeties. If you guys don't mind, I'll go ahead and
look. No, go ahead. It was the killer part of the... Were they part of the killer bees?
Yeah, sure they were.
Great logic, Tim. Odom is 1-12 against ranked teams. Thanks. Well, I don't think Texas is ranked.
I don't believe they are.
6-6 and ranked?
Lyle and Glenn Blackwood.
Yeah, if you're going to take a shot at Tim, at least get your facts straight before you do that.
Wow. Oh, where's the...
Big Al now sending in random pictures of women. What's he doing this morning?
He's angry.
Play golf, I guess.
What? He's angry that there's even any discussion of Stanton? Like, I don't get that. People are like, enough with the Stanton, he's not coming. Okay, then we'll stop talking about it. Well, I don't want to understand that.
What about hurry up and make a decision with your life, where you'll live for the next 10 years?
I agree with Doug. Yeah. If I'm standing,
why?
Then
why
they're like,
be hurried into it?
Hey, we want other hot stove talk out here, so you're going to have to make your decision now. Thank you.
No, I don't think he'll do that. I just know if I was him, I'd say, I don't care if the rest of baseball is paralyzed. I can only control what I can control, and this I can control.
I think
so
I might even say,
till I get the deal that
you know,
I want.
You know what? I was going to make a decision, but because you're pushing me and it's my life, now I'm going to lunch.
Right. I'm on vacation. I'll go on holiday.
I like that. Blues analyst Kelly Chase joins us weekly on Thursday morning, fueled by Petromart. Start all your pregame festivities at Petromart, a proud sponsor of your St. Louis Blues and a proud supplier of Phillips 66 Gasoline. Not only can you fill up on gas when you stop at one of Petromart stores, you can fill out your stomach, too. They offer a wide selection of food, drink, and other goodies to satisfy you and your family. Petromart, clean, fast, and friendly. We'll take a commercial break, come back with more of the Ryan Kelly Morning After here on 590 The Fan, KFNS.